Yo, welcome back to Return to Play Podcast. I'm your host, Grande Steve. And with me, as always, is Danny. And we're going to talk the NFL schedule real quick. Maybe some teams with short rest, extra short rest, double Thursdays. Teams playing, teams off the bye. A couple quick points of interest, preferably towards your best ball knowledge of who to... What teams to target maybe here, maybe some more favorable teams than others, some to stay away from. And then we'll talk a little EPL title race here ending this weekend. It's cities to lose, but they do have the chance to not win it, a little slight chance. And then we'll wrap up the show. We'll give you a draw of the week too, of course, but we'll just hop right into the NFL schedule. I watched a handful of schedule release videos. I was impressed by zero of them. The Dolphins one was made me laugh, at least. Tyreek Hill being fast. They have the fastest team in the NFL, they claim. And so the whole schedule just flew by in like 1 second. And that was the whole video. I did appreciate that. But I did like a little search of who may have had some good ones. None of them seemed really good this year. I think it's kind of played out. I think this is finally the start of the end of like being hyped for the schedule release videos by the teams, at least. Obviously, everyone chomping at the bit to find out when and where their teams are playing. But yeah, this is it. We're ready for football now. We've got the schedule. I'm ready for August. I'm ready for training camp. I'm ready to just be engulfed in football talk once again. But I will enjoy the time off. We got plenty going on before then. Summer Olympics. USA is heavily favored in that. And Jake Paul Tyson fight in July to tie us over. We got some golf this weekend. More golf Masters in June. Yeah, it'll be all right. But yeah, August can't get here soon enough. The Hall of Fame game's always such a tease, but man, it gets juicy, right there for August. Can't wait. Okay. What do we got? You got anything of note you want to point out? Do you want to bitch about the Steelers schedule?
I'm pissed about everything. Baseball, hockey, football. I'm just pissed at everything right now. But yeah, I don't care about the schedule release videos. They're corny as hell. Thought Pittsburgh's was funny, but it really had nothing to do with the schedule release. It was just players, you know, actively telling stupid jokes to James Harrison and trying to make him laugh. So that was a funny video, but it had nothing really to do with. They were just putting logos of the teams, you know, that they were playing, and then you know sometimes the joke would kind of tie in with that team, but.
You know, yeah, and half of these videos, the schedule was out of order. They were just simply putting what teams they played. Like, that's not new information. And then a couple of them I read, like the Seahawks and two or three others, they didn't have any of the schedule in their video whatsoever. They just made a video for the schedule release and didn't have any of the schedule in it. So, whatever.
It was funny.
We watched some of those while eating dinner and kind of wish we would have rather just watched an episode of something. But
yeah, I saw bits of some that were, you know, cropped and edited and shared in a Twitter video or whatever, but I didn't actively watch any of them. I am pissed. Steelers schedule is fucking bullshit, first of all, along with they have 9 road games, which that's not because of the schedule. That just alternates every year. But it's like, A, they have 9 road games, and 3 of the first 4 are on the road, which they finally gave them a fucking home opener last year for the first time in over a decade or whatever it was, just to get shit fucked by San Francisco. And then now we're opening on the road again. They don't play a division opponent until fucking week 11, which is stupid. And then their last 8 games are all 6 division opponents and Kansas City and Philly are in the last eight games. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. So they got to start hot, and then everybody's going to get hurt in the final 2 months of the season. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, the opening schedule is fair. You know, they should start off stacking some wins. They need to start off stacking some wins. So, yeah, if they don't.
It's going to be so weird watching six divisional games in the last 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and your other two aren't even relief. It's a NFC favorite and the back-to-back Super Bowl champ. Like, that's the most ridiculous. Like, who, like, how, like, that shouldn't be. And oh, I didn't even talk about the Christmas. They got fucking, they play on a short week back-to-back. They play three games in 10 days. How is that even legal? Like, the NFLPA should be fucking freaking the fuck out right now. Like, how is that even allowed?
Well,
to play a Wednesday Christmas game? It's ridiculous.
They play December 21st and then, you know, Wednesday the 25th.
The 15th, the 21st, and the 25th. Three games in 10 days.
But no, the 21st, the 20, oh, the 15th, the 21st, and 25th. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Three games in 10 days. And no one's meant to play football that much.
No.
At any level. And here we are at the highest level.
If your athletic director freaking scheduled that for your high school, he'd get fucking fired. he'd be getting investigated.
Well, those are amateurs.
I mean, yeah, but how is that even? I mean, I can't believe that that's.
And then allowed. It's right before the, like, if, and that goes the same for the Chiefs and the Ravens. All three of those are playoff potential teams. And so if none of these teams have the one seed, then you have to be ready for the, so you almost have to do selective resting for one of those three games. Like, there's no way all those teams are going to be healthy on Christmas Day, because they just played twice in 7 days the week before. It is ridiculous.
I guess
it's stupid.
I guess the Chiefs probably have the same. I haven't looked at the Chiefs schedule, but I'm assuming they have to play three games in 10 days also.
Yeah, it's all four teams have the same schedule, at least, that play Christmas Day. They have the same amount of rest for that whole 10-day spread.
Yeah.
But next year, Christmas, like 2025, Christmas is on a Thursday. So it's like, NFL, you couldn't have waited one more year to do this and then the year after,
or just
that,
give those teams a late bye. Like, what is that? Week 15 or 14?
Week 17.
Well,
Christmas,
shit.
So you can only get 14 at the best.
Fucking stupid. Well, then give them a bye in week 15, make them play the Thursday night game on week 16, and then you have 6 days of rest going into that Wednesday Christmas game. You know what I mean?
It's because they're doing two games, so you can't have four. You can't have two Thursday night games then. So it's like,
why are they doing Wednesday night? Why are you doing Christmas games to begin with? No one fucking wants to watch or play a game on Wednesday night. Like, fucking so dumb.
Yeah, and like I said, starting in 2025, Christmas is over the weekend for like 4 years straight. You could have started this next year when Christmas was on a Thursday.
Right.
And it would have made a lot more sense.
The reason they were Christmas games the past couple years is because last year it was on a Monday, the year before it was on a Sunday, the year before it was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So it worked out. Like, it just worked with the schedules. And that now they're going out of their way to have a Christmas game is fucking stupid and entirely hazardous. You talk about freaking all the player safety bullshit, and then you're making four teams play three games in 10 days. Like, that's freaking psychotic behavior. So fuck Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Fuck the NFL.
And fuck the players.
While I'm bitching about the NFL, fucking Pittsburgh fucking, they didn't cut Allen Robinson in their first wave of like cuts in the offseason. And there was talk of mutual interest in like having him, you know, maybe just take a pay cut or whatever. Then he walks to the Giants for one year, $1 million. You couldn't pay Allen Robinson $1 million. What was that about? How do you let Allen Robinson Scotty walk? I bet they're paying Scotty Miller as much.
I think you have to. I think it's league minimum. I'd imagine wide receiver league minimums around a mil.
It was like 1.1. He had some sort of earning potential up to 1.3, but it's like, yeah. So it's like they gave him league. They gave Allen Robinson league minimum with like a squirt of whipped cream on top, and fucking Pittsburgh was like, oh no, we're not gonna fucking keep you. We that's ridiculous. So that pisses me off because now, I mean, they don't have a wide receiver too, unless Roman Wilson's like a dog, which I do like the pick of Roman Wilson, but you can't just depend on him to be your wide receiver too. It's ridiculous.
A couple more things of note in terms of player health about the schedule. The Miami Dolphins are always, you know, it's always hot as balls in September. And even the first week or two of October, they have a definite heat advantage. The first week one, they are at home against Jacksonville, who's already used to that climate. Then they're at home against Buffalo, but it's a night game. Then they're at Seattle. Then they're home against Tennessee for a night game. And then they're at New England and then a bye week. So they're... and then they're at Indy, so they're not at their next home game is literally Halloween weekend. Their first day home game, other than week one against Jacksonville, is the Cardinals on Halloween weekend when it's cooled off. So they got totally screwed out of their heat advantage. If I'm looking at, you know, Jacksonville's another one. They do get Cleveland at home week two. And then they get Indy at home the first weekend of October. So they get two hot games, but that's it for them too. So I don't know if they're doing that on purpose, trying to save teams from that heat. But that was definitely something of note because I believe those are really the only two venues where it's really hot and humid in September. Everything else that far south has a dome, I believe. Everything in Texas and New Orleans, et cetera. So, yeah, the two Florida teams might have been on purpose to not give them a day home game there to start out, which is tough for them. Looking at it too, the 49ers have to play four teams this year coming off of their bye. So, 49ers are in for a bit of a tougher schedule, and they're obviously returning from two Super Bowls in 3 years. Everyone's got them circled on their calendar. So those teams have an extra 4 days to prepare they're at Tampa Bay after their bye week. And I guess Tampa Bay has to play Kansas City the week before. So they do catch one back. And Tampa Bay will be on a short week playing San Francisco after being at the Chiefs Monday night. So, short week. 1 day less for Tampa Bay for, you know, the 49ers. So bit of a tough stretch there for the 49ers. They're going to be against the grain in that. So, but fantasy wise, I still am targeting them heavily for best ball stacks. This is kind of their last year with this Super Bowl caliber squad, until they're in some deep cap trouble and not being able to return that whole squad and people are aging out on that team. So, I feel like this is the last hurrah for the 49ers. I think this is the last year I'm going to be, making sure they're heavily represented in my best ball portfolio. You got anything else of note? Are you muted?
Shit. I am muted. I said football wise, not really. That's pretty much it.
Kansas City, they do have to play two Monday night games and two. Oh no, those are Sundays. Two Monday night games, and they have to play the Black Friday game. So that's tough for them. So that the Chiefs do have to play every day of the week this year, except for Tuesday. So that does suck for the Chiefs a bit, but they're playing Vegas on Black Friday. I think that would about wrap it up. Yes, there's some toughness out there for some teams more than others, but overall, you know, like we said to start this whole thing, at the end of the day, it's the NFL and everybody's coming with a shot to win every single game, unless, you know, you're the Jets and Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles on the first play of the season. Then you're kind of done for the year, but you're packing it in early. And they were not competitive at all last year. So on that note, too, I do think the Jets are going to be somewhat ass again this year with old man Rodgers. And they didn't really buff up their offensive line. I did. They did draft somebody early, I think, for their O line. But
who's that? The Jets.
The Jets. So they did. Yeah, they signed
Olu Fashanu from Penn State.
That's right. Yeah, that'll be good.
He dropped to like 11 or whatever. Yeah, and I feel like they drafted two, and they got a receiver. They got Malachi Corley, early third round. They got him, Western Kentucky guy, but he's really good. I like him. I wanted Pittsburgh to draft him. Not mad about Roman Wilson, though, for sure.
On that note, too, a couple week one lines to look at. Listening to Michael Lombardi today, he said if he had to take one week one game today, if he had to put his money on one game today, he'd take the Steelers plus three at Atlanta.
I don't even care if it's that it's at Atlanta.
Pittsburgh should be represented well down there.
We talked prior to recording, like, we were all over the Atlanta under last year. Atlanta just gets a lot of hype, and Kirk Cousins is definitely going to be a big addition from the bad quarterback play they've gotten past, you know, several years. But I just don't. I think it's an average offense and a bad defense. We talked before the show. Steve pulled up. They were the 28th ranked defense last year, and haven't 29th. Really 29th. Yeah, and they haven't really
added anybody
improved in that area. So I think it's average to probably above average offense with Kirk Cousins and a bad defense. So
Atlanta Falcons, go ahead.
500 team.
So that would be nine wins, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, 9 to 10 is probably a very good season for them, I would think.
Guess the line.
They're probably 8.5 the way they're getting hyped up, but
they are 9.5 with the over juiced to -150. -150.
I'm putting the under on that. I'm hammering that under.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that under right now. +105 for under 9.5 wins for the Falcons. Weak division, though. They should be
the division's weak. Yes. The Saints are gonna be bad. Panthers are gonna be bad, and the Bucks should be okay. Like,
and the Bucks are at 8.5 wins, -167 for under 8.5 wins.
9-8 probably wins that division again, which is crazy. That is the thing in the Falcons' favor for sure. But and they got to play. Well, is this our? Are we playing the NFC South, or is that just our one random rotation game for the 17th game?
We are playing the AFC West and the NFC. No, that we're playing the NFC East.
Okay, so that's crazy that the Falcons are our first game then. So who?
Well, that was on purpose because Arthur Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We open with
the
Arthur Smith revenge game, and then week two is the Russell Wilson revenge game. So,
Yeah, at Denver in the altitude. Both
on the fucking road.
But you're getting Bo Nix in his second NFL game ever against our defense. Yeah. So you should be 2-0 Pittsburgh. You should be 2-0 playing the Chargers at home week.
Oh, three. Yeah, Denver's going to be terrible.
They're over-unders 5.5 games.
Mike Tomlin going west has always been a not good combination.
Yeah, for whatever reason. And then you get the Harbaugh on week three.
All so, the years they lost a freaking.
I'll tell you right now, I want the under for the Chargers Steelers week three. A lot of running the football there. Yeah.
I don't know what to expect from the Chargers. That's going to be a fun, interesting team to watch.
That's what I expect.
Because it's really not a good team. And, I mean, but with you know, you have a great franchise quarterback. If they get some, you know, lesser name guys to step up, they could be a good team with a good coach.
I mean, we're really Steelers and Chargers are kind of a spitting image of each other, except we have a better defense by a leap and a bound. But yeah, a spitting image of an offense, I'd say. Based heavily around running the football. I will just go through a little more Pittsburgh here. Then they're at Indianapolis. Who knows what they're going to be like, but that'll be a tough game. And then you get week five, Sunday night football, home for the Dallas Cowboys. So hopefully we're a home dog at night against Dallas, and that should be a good spot for us. And then Vegas, and then Sunday night football again. So Sunday night football 2 out of 3 weeks. Better get your night owl caps on, and we're playing the Jets at home too. So 2 home Sunday night football games, and then the following week we're home against the Giants for Monday night football. So 3 primetime games.
They gave us the Giants on Monday night. What the fuck? No one wants to watch that.
You're right.
No one wants to watch us beat the Giants 9-6 on fucking primetime television. Why do the Giants have a Monday night game?
I think everyone has to have a Monday night game.
No, they don't. They do Thursday. Every team plays a Thursday, I think they changed that. I think they changed that a year or two ago. Now they just basically do whoever. But yeah, because the Browns didn't have a Monday night game for like years at one point.
You're right. I'm looking at this. New England doesn't have a Monday night game, but they're in, they're overseas for a week. So that means at least 2 teams don't have a Monday night game.
Dude, the Giants are going to be so bad.
Giants are going to be very bad. Let me
look at the real quick.
So
basically, the takeaway from this segment is hammer the Falcons and hammer the Giants because they are both going to be NFC contenders.
No, the Giants. I refuse to believe that, but the Falcons definitely could be. I think the Giants could be 5-7 win team at their. I think that's their ceiling.
You would have to get significant production from Daniel Jones with a bad line and no weapons.
Well,
Allen Robinson will have to go for freaking 1,500.
Their total is 6.5.
What?
-150.
But
they're
just not good. I don't even who's their running back.
That's a good question.
Saquon was their whole team, and all they added, they had no fucking money. All they added was Allen Robinson for $1 million. I can't even think of one acquisition they made, really.
And they still have 3 primetime games, the Giants.
That's got to be strictly based off the New York market.
Yeah, and a Thanksgiving game.
Oh, so they made the Brian Burns trade. That's right. I mean, but that's still you have a good defensive front. They do. I'll give them that.
They're playing the Panthers in Germany.
But that is, I mean, that is just not a good team. And the, you know, here's the fucking thing. They re-signed Gunnar Olszewski, so they are fucking screwed. No, actually, no, he looked good. That's what's bullshit. He was an all-pro returner for fucking New England, and we let Ray McLeod walk, paid Olszewski more than McLeod got in San Fran, and Olszewski was, I mean, he was the worst football player of all time in a Steelers jersey.
He was doo-doo.
Dude, it was insane how bad he was. And then he finally gets cut after his, like, eighth, like, critical error. And then the Giants sign him, and he, like, looked good as a returner again. Like, fuck Olszewski. He's got a Polish name, but he could never have a pierogi in Pittsburgh ever again. Like, outlaw that shit.
The Broncos had the F1 racer who is a part owner. They had him do taste testing of each food of who they're playing. And so they gave him a pierogi for Pittsburgh. He said it was fire. They gave him dog treats for the Browns. It wasn't actually a dog treat. It was human ingredients, but he still said it tastes like it. But yeah, well, it's just because it was a Browns dog treat. And I don't see anything else of note. I've been looking for first eight game win totals. I haven't seen it in a few years. But you know, if so, I'm taking Pittsburgh's first eight to be, you know, over 4.5. And if God forbid they put a second half of the season out, I'll probably take that under because it's such a gauntlet. But there's a few teams that have a rough, much rougher second half than first half of the season. And I would target those teams if you can find that first eight games, or you just, if you think a team is going to have a really rough second half of the year, but they're still a playoff team, then you better take, you better wait to take their Super Bowl odds or conference championship odds until it gets a little later in the season when they might catch a few L's on the backtrack. So that's how I would probably navigate those waters. I wouldn't take anybody to win. I wouldn't really take any futures or week one bets until you start looking at training camps and stuff and final rosters. So that's how I'll navigate those things. And obviously, best ball, you start firing now. The puppy is out. The $5 puppy is out. So. Okay, I think we're good on that. That was a half hour block, but that was all good talk. I think we gave our own little perspective of things, of maybe not what everyone else is talking about. And we can move on to the other football and focusing more on the English Premier League here. I'll let Danny serve you the entree, but basically, it is between Manchester City and Arsenal to win. And if City wins, they will win their fourth league title in a row. If Arsenal wins and City draws, then it comes down to goal differential. And obviously, if City loses and Arsenal wins, then it is Arsenal's title. But if they both draw, it's still City's as well. So, City's to lose. Basically, they're playing a shitty middle of the pack West Ham team, and I don't know who Arsenal has, but take it away.
City's like minus 1100 or something crazy. I mean, but yeah, there's really not much to discuss. City did what they had to do, and it was a fun season. Both. You know, they were the two favorites coming in, obviously, and both kind of got off to not bad starts, but just kind of sluggish, you know, underperforming starts, getting, you know, draws and a few losses early. And then if you really feel for Arsenal, because they were like hot late, like just unbeatable. And I think they beat City and drew City in the other. Like, City actually has very few points against the other, like the other top tier teams. Arsenal just dropped too many to the lesser teams, but Arsenal was on, I think, like a probably a 10 plus win streak in the Premier League. They did what they had to do to, you know, to stay alive. The problem is City just wouldn't lose down the stretch either. So both were just playing ridiculous soccer ball down the stretch. So it's, you know, City did everything they had to do, got the tough road wins they needed, and now all they got to do is beat a much, much lesser West Ham at home. So City, the very heavy favorite right now. So it kind of a very anticlimactic ending, honestly, because they're so heavily favored. But it is the only the second year in the last 17, apparently, to come down to the to be still undecided going into the final match day. So I guess we got that going for us.
Yeah, MLS, Charlotte's doing pretty good, and the crew's rolling. So
the best soccer story is not EPL or Champions League, even though Dortmund made an incredible run to the Champions League final where they'll play Real Madrid. But the Bundesliga champ, an unbeaten Bayer Leverkusen side. It's never been done. No one's ever ran the table in the Bundesliga or the EPL for that matter. But all they have to do is you know, not lose at home in their final game. Just absolutely ran away with it this year. It's truly a shame that they are not in the Champions League this year, because it might be the greatest team of all time, and we'll just kind of never know. But they are, so they got one more Bundesliga game at home against Augsburg, and they're only minus 360. That's kind of crazy. Team of destiny. And then they got, you know, they're in the Europa League final, so it's like the Champions League junior. And then whatever the fucking domestic German cup, DFB Pokal or whatever the fuck they call it. I don't speak German. So they got their last game and then two cup finals basically to pull off an entirely undefeated season, which is simply a remarkable feat, especially since it's not from one of the typical German powerhouses.
That is
Bayern. Bayern was on like what? They had won like 11 straight Bundesliga titles, and then Harry Kane goes there. Harry Kane got so sick of Tottenham, he went to Bayern to get a free trophy, basically, and they won zero trophies this year. So feel for Harry Kane. That's my soccer rant of the day.
I like it. I didn't look for a draw of the week, but I do want to tell, while we look for draw of the week, I have Bronny James's odds of where he'll be drafted.
I'm glad you said that, because I want to talk about my boy Enrique.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything on – there's no other odds up for anything else but him, at least what I can see. So, but Bronny James to be drafted by the Lakers is the overwhelming favorite at plus 180, and every other team is minimum 10-1 after that. But the two teams that are exactly 10-1 behind him are the Thunder, the 76ers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, you know, will the Bronze go to Cleveland together? And, you know, Bron can then retire a Cav with a farewell tour with the father-son duo. I don't think Spida would like that too much, taking the shine away from him, and it's definitely his team. He's already pissed off at the Cavs, though.
So. I think he's gone regardless, but that's neither.
Yeah, he's like, this is the Jazz all over again. they surrounded me with a bunch of knuckleheads. But, you know, and unfortunately for the Cavs, Jared Allen was out for, you know, over 2 weeks with what they said was a bruised rib. If he really only had a bruised rib and you missed an entire 2 weeks, I get basketball is super physical and being down low is like insane. But you had to have cracked a rib to be out for 2 weeks, not just bruising one, to be out that long. You can't put padding under his Under Armour and then put the jersey over top of that or something. I mean, you had a shot maybe with Jared Allen, plus no Porzingis on the other side. I think they may have had a shot to at least take that six games. But if he can't play, I don't know what his status is.
Spider missing the last couple games too. Did you see Ric Flair? Is Ric Flair from Cleveland? He was pissed about it. He was not happy about Donovan Mitchell missing those games. He had a social media rant.
He's from Charlotte.
What's he all pissed off about then?
He must love the Cavs. He
basically accused Donovan Mitchell of quitting on Cleveland. Essentially,
I'm pissed. I didn't know that right away. I knew he was from Charlotte. He's a huge Charlotte guy.
But here's Bronny James, I get it. You know, wanting to play with your dad, like that's cool and that's something.
I also have a Ric Flair story I want to circle back to.
That's just a remarkable story, you know, kind of Ken Griffey thing, I guess. But Bronny is not at one. He's been listed at 6'4" all this time. He measured in at 6'1½", I believe, at the combine, which is crazy. One, it's kind of, you know, he got the combine invite strictly off his name, which obviously they're going to do that. But now you're taking a spot from somebody else. If he wasn't who he was, he wouldn't even be on any team's radar to be drafted. Right. And I feel for him because I think that by doing this, he's effectively ending his career. Like, he'll get drafted by somebody as a lure to get LeBron James to come. But then, you know, you get what, 1 to 2 years, and then your basketball career is over, versus staying in college, you know, being a March hero, you know, making, I mean, he could have been a good college player somewhere, regardless, like if he transferred somewhere, stayed at USC or whatever. So,
oh yes, dad ruined his basketball career already.
But you know, it depends what it's worth. The kid's a billionaire, you know. His dad's never has to do anything. You know, yeah. he might just want to play basketball for 1 or 2 more years and then be a, you know, a TikTok star for the rest of his life. You know what I mean? Like, he can do whatever the hell he wants. Like, why work hard and you know, if you don't really want to play basketball? So, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but that's neither here nor there. If I'm like, does he deserve to be drafted? No, for sure not. B, if I'm a team that's on the brink of contention and I'm not picking like very early, because how in the NBA, you know, how after the lottery, how often are you actually hitting on these guys? Not very, especially second rounders, late first rounders. Very rarely are they turning into like, you know, good players, let alone like game changers. So if I can get LeBron, like and all it costs me is a couple $1 million and a guy on my roster for 2 years before I cut him and, you know, part ways, then yeah, 1,000% I'm drafting Bronny. So my two spots, you know, obviously if I'm like top 10, I'm not taking him, but like Golden State sitting there at 14, you tell me fucking you don't get LeBron, you draft Bronny, get LeBron there for 1 or 2 years, and you know, you guys are all old, but you tell me Steph, Clay, LeBron, and fucking Draymond can't get it done. You know, they could definitely contend with that team, even if they are all aging. And then another one, OKC sitting there at 12. You know, OKC, a very good team, very, very young team, but bring LeBron into that team that just won 57 games. Those are my two big spots where I could, you know, if I'm one of them teams, I would for sure take Bronny if I had, you know, a commitment from LeBron that I would go there. So he'll definitely get drafted. Another guy that's definitely going to get drafted, put your fucking mortgage on it, Enrique Freeman, the Akron freaking just incredible story, former walk-on to two-time MAC Player of the Year and national rebound leader, Enrique Freeman. Got a last-minute invite to the combine after showing out at like some G League camp, and then, you know, I didn't get to watch much because of work and stuff. But everything I'm seeing is he basically has lit up the combine and was going. So now he's going from like an undrafted spot to a basically they're looking at him as like a second round lock now, where like I'm seeing that he's for sure going to get drafted. The question is where, and then maybe even sneaking into the early second, late first. So that's an awesome story, and I freaking can't wait for it. Which, and I'm pissed. These motherfucking old ass retard presidents fucking, we're not going to debate. We're not going to debate. Now they finally are going to debate, and it's the fucking night of the draft, you fucking assholes. So, nobody's even going to watch Enrique Freeman get drafted. Akron's fucking first claim to fame. Damn. But regardless, hell of an accomplishment. I'm excited for it.
Well, I'll tell my quick Ric Flair quip and then draw the week, and then we'll get you out of here. But Ric Flair said that I don't know if you remember about last year, last fall, he did one last match, and it was, you know, an entire event surrounded by him being in a tag team match in the main event. It was, you know, just an event put on just for him, basically by him and Kid Rock and couple others. And so, you know, he said that he had multiple heart attacks during that match and he thought he passed out multiple times during that match. And you could see that on the if you watch that match, he looks absolutely terrible. He doesn't know where he's at half of the time and was barely qualified, as you could call it, pro wrestling. He was mostly just a lukewarm body out there for a 20-minute tag team match. So he was really only active, you know, for 5 to 7 minutes. But anyway, he got checked out after that or whatever. And yeah, the doctor said, you know, like 1/4 of his heart is not functioning. So I'd imagine that means one of the valves. But yeah, I guess, you know, 1/4 of his heart just showed up on the MRI is just black. And then
maybe they mean his ejection fraction. Like, I don't know. Could that's a very non-medical. That's the medical professional putting something into layman's terms so he can try to understand it. But from a medical standpoint, it actually is very inconclusive of a statement.
Yes, he did say simply, he's like, you had a heart attack at some point since you've come to see me about this. And even after that, and since then, he has been a regular at all the bars in, is it Tampa or Jacksonville, wherever he's residing at now, and including last week, he got kicked out of a bar and cursed the bartender out at the right on the bar top there. Just Ric Flair being Ric Flair, just, and then the night after that match, he said he thought he had been passed out 3 times during that match because he was dehydrated. So he had 2 Gatorades and then went back to Kid Rock's house and partied all night. I mean, that guy is one of one, a true legend of life, Ric Flair, Charlotte native, but.
So he must've deleted the Donovan Mitchell post, because it's gone. I'm sure there's a screenshot of it somewhere. But he was at the Cavs game.
Yeah.
Promoting his woo energy. And he has a reel, you know, Facebook reel.
LeBron was there with him, I think.
Well, his video, he's up in the fucking rafters, which is even funnier. But his energy drink is like on the official rally towel of Cavs, powered by Woo Energy, # let them know, and then his energy drink logo and a picture of the towel are on the Jumbotron.
Woo Energy, you can wrestle through a heart attack.
When 25% of your heart won't work, just fucking drink it back into shape. Woo!
All right, let's get a draw of the week here for the people and get on out of here and enjoy the PGA Championship and a nice May. Well, it's going to rain here all weekend, but probably a nice May weekend wherever you're at. And I'm going to go, well, before draw of the week, you know, Inter Miami is a point on top of to be the number one overall seed in the playoffs, or a point ahead of Cincinnati. But they are plus 210 to win the MLS, which is playoff format, not like the EPL. So plus 210, I don't hate that. And then LAFC is plus 600 as the second favorite. So I think it's really between those two teams to win the whole thing here if everyone stays healthy. I think LAFC just got Giroud.
Yes, the they French. Did.
So, Olivier. I mean, if he's going to play this season, I do not hate LAFC at plus 600 to win anything.
Yeah. He won't show up. They'll give him time off because of, you know, the MLS schedule doesn't match the Italy schedule. So he still has a few games left in Italy, and then he'll most likely be on France's team at the Euros this summer.
But he won't definitely show up make the playoffs already. They're already a playoff team.
Yeah, he won't show up to the MLS till August at the earliest. Probably late August, but just to give him some time off. But yeah, I mean,
there's a future for you, people.
He'll get acclimated in plenty of time. Especially we talked about it preseason when we gave picks and stuff. But the MLS East is really, really stacked right now, and the West is not nearly as stacked. Actually, well, the Galaxy and Salt Lake have actually been two of the better teams, but the West definitely easier than the East right now. So yeah, LAFC. Definitely a good bet.
Yeah, at 600, I would jump on that now, people. But my draw of the week, I'm going to the motherland for Serie A, and I'm going to take Torino at home against AC Milan, both out of contention to win anything this weekend in their league. That's a plus 220 draw.
I am going to a rare Bundesliga pick, and it is between Wolfsburg and Mainz. Mainz at the bottom of the table. They just need a draw to avoid relegation, to confirm that they will avoid relegation. And Wolfsburg, kind of in the middle of the table, has absolutely nothing to play for. So even though it's on the road, I like them to get the draw versus an uninspired Wolfsburg. Also interesting of note, they have 14 draws this year, which is number one in the Bundesliga. So Mainz 05.
Mainz 05, they are plus 430 to finish bottom three in the league. So could you take the draw and them to finish bottom three plus 430, and you could make money either way. Unless they win the game, then fuck.
Yeah, then.
Well, but you're getting two sides of three sides. You're getting two out of three sides at plus money.
Oh, shit.
That's not a bad strat.
It's not a bad strat.
It's basically Mainz.
I don't know how to pronounce German cities.
Mainz. Well, that would be EI.
Mainz.
I think it's Mainz. But yeah, you could definitely take that game at plus 250 draw, and then take Mainz bottom three at plus 430. And yeah, you'd be winning money either way. They're plus 120 to win the game. So there's a way to make money no matter what outcome happens, but it would be like a fraction of, if you bet all three sides, you'd basically,
Holy fuck. That's weird. That's weird odds that they're like, they're giving the odd, cause Wolfsburg's, you know, the better team and their home, but Mainz is plus 120 and Wolfsburg's plus 210 outright. I didn't even notice that. So the odds makers are aware that, like, this is going to be a very inspired team avoiding relegation, and Wolfsburg is just there for a paycheck at this point.
They are the wine capital of Germany.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah, dude. Hammer down. They're staying in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, they need that. They got that wine money. Mainz. It's Mainz.
FSV Mainz. 05.
Mainz. Yep. Nailed it. Mainz. Wine capital. All right. Well, I think I might actually jump on the draw there.
It's a good pick. It's a quality pick.
Yeah. Well, and then a lot of
stuff. It's the type of thing, too. It's like they, if, you know, if they jump ahead, they're going to like play very conservatively after that just to avoid, you know, because like I said, they're safe with the draw. So like they're, even if they give up one goal, it's not the end of the world. Like, they're going to play very conservatively to kill as much time so that they don't give up multiple goals and lose. So yeah. I love the draw there.
All right. Well, whatever you're doing this weekend, make it a good one. Make it a productive one. Get your productivity in now, people, before August will be here before you know it, and then life will quickly go down
July,
the tube.
July 19th will be here before you know it, and then I'll be playing NCAA football for
July 16th, if you get the deluxe edition.
I pre-ordered the MVP package or whatever that comes with Madden.
Would that run you? $150
$150, but I'm going to spend $70 on each game regardless, so it's not a bad deal at all.
Oh, I thought you meant just the highest edition of just college football.
No, well, that's the standard is $70, the deluxe is $100, and then there's the MVP bundle, which is the deluxe NCAA and the deluxe Madden, and it's $150. So you're getting both standards, it's $140. So yeah, so. Definitely not a bad deal.
I kind of played myself. I'm enjoying the most recent Madden right now, which, by the way, I did a fantasy draft, you know, drafted all 53 positions or you know, there's 53 rounds in that fantasy draft for your franchise. I took the Raiders. I got Josh Allen with the second overall pick, a random order. And still lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Completely random rosters.
The Chiefs were good in the fake world.
They
too.
Richardson, the Colts.
No way. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was bullshit. And I threw a pick right before the second half, and they. Yeah, it was bad.
Bro, there's a WNBA commercial on right now. Did you see? We remember like a month ago when the tickets to the Indiana games were like going crazy because of Caitlin Clark. The resale value with fees for their next home game. What is your estimate that they're going for?
Like cheapest ticket to get in?
Yeah, the cheap tickets to get in.
Just for a single game?
For a single game. Like that people were paying like hundreds for pre-sale.
And then you're asking me what the resale is.
What are they reselling for now after like... So basically like...
$75.
$4. That is not a good return on investment for those scalpers. Yeah, it's bad. Bad news. Because they got blown out like twice and she hasn't looked very good. Which is also hilarious. People talking about free, well, this is a rant that I don't need to get on, but she should have taken the freaking big three money that Ice Cube offered. One, because, you know, get your freaking giant paycheck, and two, it would shut people up about freaking the whole dude versus chick argument, I hope she. I mean, obviously, you know, she's a rookie. She's gonna turn around and she's gonna be a freaking WNBA superstar for a very long time. But like, she has had a very underwhelming start, and it kind of freaking finally at least proves to people like how what the actual, like, you know, difference is in these levels of you know, from college to the pros and from men to women, like how drastic, you know, people that thought she was just going to come in and drop friggin' 40 points a game and could play in the NBA, like that was just crazy. But no, she's a freak, and she's gonna go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, women's player ever. But drop the whole notion of her being able to freaking compete with men. Like, that's crazy.
Well, I think that does it. I think we're actually going to wrap
LGBTQIA rant of the week.
That's it. We're out of here. Enjoy the weekend. Stay healthy, America.